Hello, friends, and welcome to the Healing Ground Movement. Now, for more content and bonus features, you can join us on Facebook and Instagram. And remember, all of our content is delivered freely, so please consider supporting the show by donating via the link on our website at healinggroundmovement.com or liking and reviewing the podcast on your favorite platform.
Enjoy today's episode.
Today's episode is brought to you by one of my all-time favorite apps, Blinkist. I found out about this app when I was pregnant and didn't have as much time to read, particularly into those early years of mothering, and it has been a game changer. Blinkist brings you knowledge from top nonfiction and podcasts so you can learn anytime, anywhere, and the best part is it condenses it down into 15 minutes. You can either listen or read to key ideas from best-selling nonfiction in just 15 minutes. So you keep getting all of these great recommendations, all the parenting books, all the health books, all of the things that you know you should be doing and know that you should know more about, but you just don't have the time to read the full version. You can get the Cliff Notes version from Blinkist. They have teamed up with podcast creators to bring you key insights from podcasts as well. And there is expert curation, their handpicked recommendation tailored to what you're interested in. So the more you listen, the more specific your recommendations get. Visit healinggroundmovement.com/resources for a free trial of Blinkist. I know you're going to love it as much as I do. Enjoy today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Healing Ground Movement Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Carly Hudson, and I am so excited to introduce to you our guest for today. Michaela Gaston and I had an amazing conversation, gosh, like 6 months ago. There was snow on the ground. I remember that. And she brings this incredible passion and power to healing trauma recovery, both interpersonally, intrapersonally, in ourselves and our families, and in this international global scale. So to me, this just speaks wonders to the place where working on ourselves, working within ourselves, and working within our community can bring healing all around. She is the founder of the International Culture, Arts, and Healing Sciences Institute and co-executive director of World Trust Educational Services. She partners with organizations nationally and internationally to bring social justice through film and dialogue and music as medicine, as a form of peace building and transformational healing to jeopardized populations and at-risk children, youth, and families worldwide. She has a rock star TED Talks that you definitely need to check out. And I am going to let her introduce herself to you a little bit here. But Michaela, thank you for joining us today.
Yay! I am so happy to be here. And that is plenty of an introduction. I'm just so excited to talk to you again.
This is beautiful. So you have this, you know, the way, you know, with doing this podcast for 3 years, it becomes more of the trend than the exception that when we come to this kind of healing transformative journey, we kind of earned it ourselves. And you are no exception. You have quite the story. Can you give us a little bit of your background, you know, how you arrived to this healing work that you do?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I went through a transformational journey. I mean, very similar. You and I talked about how we have these places and spaces where we understand the need to rise above pain in a way that I think that not a lot of people can go from the abstract to the actual about what that looks like. But I had a near fatal hate crime where a bunch of guys ran me over while I was sitting in a field of flowers in their truck. And, you know, after I was told that my legs would have to be amputated and I went through years of recovery with third degree burns, I was told I was never going to walk again. And I realized in the burn unit that the only way that I could actually heal myself was by rising above the pain and kind of creating this self-induced comatose state, quite honestly. And the way that I was able to do it was not through any kind of drugs. There's no drug that heals like or helps with that kind of pain from third degree burns. I had to do it through music. And listening to very intentional music, listening to, you know, not like, you know, pop music or anything that's on the radio, like truly stepping into, you know, tonal music and healers that were musicians that would just do like deep tuval throat singing and then pour water from one glass to another glass and just, it was very, very hypnotic. And it really allowed me to receive that kind of resonance therapy. And I think that that was so interesting because, you know, I was raised in a house full of doctors and I was in the process of going to medical school. So my association with healing was very much so from a Western perspective, even though I did a lot of drumming and I was also a Reiki master and I dabbled in complementary medicine, but I never really thought about music as a modality for healing. Yeah. And that was very, very cool to be in a place where the music that I heard when I left my body after I was crushed and died was also very ephemeral and very tonal with respect to voices and perfect harmony and this way that a piece was created while I was out of body in this kind of like cellular state in alignment with like clouds and air and all of those things, hearing that sound and realizing that that was what was calling me back to my purpose here in physical form was to really tap into the mystery and the magic of music. It's out of control. It's like I often refer to it as like the magic of gravity. You don't think about it, but it's there, you know, it's there. And you don't really think about music as like anything other than either music background for, you know, shopping or, you know, like people do a lot of different things with music, but
the distractor, the buzz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a distracting buzz, or it's like how you sink into, it's just so woven into our lives. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a world without music? Like,
well, cause when you talk about that resonance, you know, what comes up that when you, the words that you use brought up the vibration almost of what you were talking about in the different types of music, this consonance, this rhythm. We can talk that way. I mean, we could slide right over into some slam poetry too, but we're going to, but we have that rhythm, we have that drum beat, and we are, you know, as humans embodied, we have the heartbeat, that rhythm that goes anywhere, we're out.
Talk about it, Carly.
Or if it gets a little off beat, you know, that's a whole different piece there. But right. Even down to our cellular level, we are vibrating.
Yes, so indeed.
There is this rhythmic piece that comes with us. And when you talk about this whole place of coming from Western medicine and having to call it an opportunity is being very generous, but that's what I started to call mine. So we'll say that maybe generously, to have this opportunity to see where something else, something unexpected,
yes,
is the thing. It is almost unbelievable until you are in that moment of no return, where, like you said, medication isn't going to touch this. You being on all of the life support and medical interventions possible, you still had to make that choice of where you were going to be and what you were going to inhabit. And music and resonance brought you back into corporal being. Mm. It's its own kind of magic that's at all of our fingertips.
Right.
But here you are.
And, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of like that healing on an ultimate level where, mm-hmm. you know, that power of resonance, but also the power of, and, you know, I know, you know, this mm-hmm. the power of letting go when you have to, the fear of not being able to hold on to what you think is quote unquote normalcy and you know, moving through the day to day, but letting go not only of pain, but of angst and anguish and, mm-hmm. and fear and anger and all of these things, when you're trapped in those places of stuckness with respect mm-hmm. to emotional healing, in addition to physical healing, you can't heal yourself. So you have to let go on so many levels to allow for alignment to come together.
Yes. Yeah. And when you're thinking, you're bringing up all of these places of stuckness, these emotional places of hate and anger and fear, you know, those are so isolating. So individually, this is a wall between me and my perpetrators, a wall between me and the people who look at me as othering. And music dissolves that because it is that universal heartbeat. It is that that rhythm of getting lost.
Yes.
But lost is such a scary word in that moment, but it
true.
It's letting go.
It's letting go. And just to riff off what you were saying about lost, it's that same kind of faith you have when you're in the darkness mm-hmm. and you're looking for, you know, where is the light? How do I get to the other side of the room or through the forest or whatever it is? If you can't see, you have an inherent faith or belief. And you know, the word faith has gotten so twisted for so many reasons, right? But that you have a belief that there is another side, there is another way. And so you start tapping into creative solutions for getting through. And so those barriers you were just describing have to get dissolved in order to get to that place of getting through. And that's mm-hmm. so applicable right now in our world, right? With all the warring that's happening and all the need for us to go through this kind of transformational healing, mm-hmm. we have to find and utilize all the tools at our disposal to allow us to find forgiveness and mm-hmm. find a methodology for healing deeply and not just in word, but in deed mm-hmm. and in intention as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's something in these places where I like how you say, not just in word, but in deed. And there's a way that we can utter these words and have no meaning behind them.
Yeah.
And it is so much harder to embody the resonance of these words or the meaning, even if it's just, finding the resonance of your heart chakra, your solar plexus, yes. any of these places deep within ourselves.
Yes.
It's hard to separate from that because it does sort of pick you up and sweep you away.
And speak to that kind of deep truth, right? Like in your heart chakra space, only lives deep truth, right? Mm-hmm. In that space where you're going to resonate deeply past the barriers of language. So a lot of the work that I do that's overseas, we don't speak the same language, but once you start singing, you know, here's a story that I tell often about how I was working with this organization called International Intersections, and it was Intersections International. Sorry, I switched them. And it was really focusing on like partnering with you, the United Nations and mm-hmm. the High Commission on Refugees and speaking to Palestinian refugees and speaking to Iraqi refugees and speaking to people in places that are, you know, war torn and still they're in hiding. You know, this is in Palestine and Lebanon and Jordan and Syria, and hearing how these people, because they're so traumatized by war, they're so petrified, their children have been told to be quiet and stay in a closet and don't make a sound because they're running for their lives. And this is what's happening now in the Ukraine with all these Ukrainian refugees running for their lives. To have language go beyond all of those things that freeze us in fear. Mm. The only way that language can penetrate when you don't speak the same language is through music. I could sing to this woman who was an Iraqi refugee who kept saying she had no memory of anything, only sadness. She could only hear me and crack through the amber of her fear by singing. And so I would sing to her, she had no idea what I was singing. And she just knew that I was singing to her heart, to her soul in a way that was loving and caring and healing. And she would just start crying. And then suddenly she could remember all the moments. She could remember all the beautiful things about her grandchildren who were still trapped in Iraq. She could remember all of the date trees that were being destroyed by war. And so we start looking at like all of the ramifications of war, the erasure of culture that we don't even talk about. We always talk about the loss of resources or, you know, the deployment of this, that, and the other thing, and how much it's costing. Right, exactly. Hello, sister, capitalism. So we're stuck in that place of like having, you know, A plus B equals C, as opposed mm-hmm. to the fullness of the wrath of mm-hmm. having a world imbued in hatred when you could switch it on its head and feel the beauty of the fullness of the completion of a world filled with love and mm-hmm. connectivity and togetherness and community and the sharing of cultures as opposed to the obliteration of cultures. That's critical. And being able to talk about that through the lens of art as advocacy and music, mm-hmm. honey, I could talk about that all day.
Well, that's why we're here. We're going to do what we can. But when you talk about the things that brought up, the things that she's remembering, those cultural pieces, those unique to the door I open every day and see these trees that are no longer here.
Right.
I mean, you're inviting a different conversation with music, because when we resonate to a heart space, it's not that, it's inviting past survival, you know,
yes.
In this panic moment, and we've been there. Of I just have to get through. I have to survive to the next day. And all of us, you know, our different places of where we've been in survival. It mm-hmm. is different across the globe, different across the crises you have been in. But the feeling of survival is the same.
Right.
And the needs that we are being handed are, you know, the food, the shelter, and hopefully some kind of feeling of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is being mourned outside of that survival is that culture, is that cultural erasure. It's everything that you can't touch and open your heart to at this moment, because right. the only thing that matters is
immediate
that my body, survival. My family's body sees the next day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so when you get through that immediate survival moment, mm-hmm. then you are steeped in the anguish of the loss.
Mm-hmm.
That you didn't even realize, like you said, in that moment that you would feel until mm-hmm. you're like, oh yeah, and this, and this, and this, mm-hmm. and this is gone, and this is gone. And so, you know, and coupled with that, the next level of anguish around how this is a global issue.
Mm.
It's not something that just is us community against this community. It's the way that we treat our earth. It's the way that we are moving with respect to Mother Nature and our own personal survival. We don't care enough to move past, like you said, capitalism, to get to a place of recognition that there are some things that we just have to let go of,
mm-hmm.
you know, like for our own well-being and survival. There's some things that have to just go the way of all things. We cannot mm-hmm. use gas anymore, people. We have to just get ready
yep.
to let that go. And it's going to be a true journey.
Well, and it's taking that surface level off of the importance of that convenience. Now, I want to be careful with my words here, because I don't want to somehow imply that when we are in that deep survival crisis, that these things aren't important. Mm-hmm. You know, but that to me is where the conversation often tends to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're alive, you're stable.
You're good, exactly.
You're good. A little bit like the story you were just telling of yourself in the hospital room, mm-hmm. you're good. But the alive and stable was not what brought you back.
That's right.
And this woman that you talked about, who is going to ask her to mourn this orchard of trees?
Yes. Oh my gosh, right.
Exactly. Who is going to give space to you? And it's kind of language that we're a little bit denied, you know. It's the whole terrible adage of there are clean your plate, there are starving people here. This is the important thing.
That's
not right. not the tree that you sat under every day in your childhood and cannot be replaced.
Yeah.
Not the home that you built with your family and has burned down in a forest fire that it's in the United States. It's okay. You got a house again. Good for you.
Yeah. You're giving me the chills. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
right. So your song, your singing, your outreach, and want to hear more of this activism in which you engage. It's that invitation of, okay, roof over your head, you're quote unquote good.
Correct.
Let's go further.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of the ways that we forget that healing and wellness is more than just physical safety. And it's more than just, you know, Maslow's needs, right? Okay.
This
is the thing. It's very much so about transformative, peaceful mm-hmm. solutions to study the depth and presence of spirit that a lot of us are afraid mm-hmm. to talk about and get with, unless it like matches, you know, on Sunday from X hour to X hour, you know, like moving in that way that's so very, disjointed from the fullness of us as a complete being. And I think that allows that kind of dissociative behavior allows us to separate ourselves from the loss of a huge grove of ancient mm-hmm. redwoods or date trees or whatever, for whatever reason. And music is that cellular memory that reminds us to tap into that empathic place where we can mourn and feel inspired to move in a new way, to actually save the water, to save the ocean, to save the planet, to save the children that are running for their lives from the Ukraine. And, you know, like, I think that it's the arts and that authentic expression that allows us to remember, with words or without words, the depth of feeling when you hear, you know, an upright cello playing just this mournful soul song. You know, it could be like five notes played over and over again. It reminds you in a way that you can't explain with language how deeply your heart space feeling can go. All you have to say is cello, and it's like, oh god.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm going full nidre. We got our it's not often that I get just lost listening. I was like, oh wait, I was supposed to come back with another question. but you're so right in that opening up a space, doesn't it? Just you had me thinking about some of the most soulful and passionate places of worship or prayer or resonance and community is together with music. When we start having that shuffling, that shaking that comes with it, it's that incorporation of the being and this idea that we can put it over here in a little box. Yes. Of this is the time to feel.
And you have from 11 to 12 to get through it. Exactly.
Yeah. You process it, get it gone. And
leave it in the church house. That's right.
Yeah. Go through those doors.
Exactly.
Synagogue, go through trees, whatever you need to do.
Yes.
And then you're done. And it's just sort of this ridiculous idea of how are you going to, you know, going back to your statement before about giving lip service to, saying this is important to fix.
Right. Right.
Without having that depth of feeling within yourself. So this is where we kind of get a little bit into the so within as without sort of conversation of if you're not feeling your own humanity, which is deeply touched to that rhythm, that music, even just, you know, okay, maybe you're not that musical creative person. Maybe we're just talking about a simple drum beat here.
Right.
But even that has been shown to create unity. I mean, there's a reason why that is used in the military, is this idea of if you do not see yourself as that full person with full need and full mourning, how can we turn to others who are in need, whether it is hate crimes in our own backyard, which here in the United States, we've got plenty of that still going on, to turn to this person and say, you are human in your own right, as am I. We cut off our own humanity. It becomes easier to cut off the humanity that we want to give lip service to, or maybe we aren't even doing that others.
That's exactly right. And I think it also, just to riff off of what you're saying, cuts off our humanity and cuts off our commitment to other humans in a community setting. So we're already so atomistic in the way that we move through the world. Everyone's got their own personal soundtrack going on their own personal phone for their own personal pleasure, for their own personal da-da-da. So you move in the world like it's just me. And unless there's some way that we break through the me of it all and get to the us of it, we are really not going to be able to feel our abilities to access our own empathy. You know, they talk about the psychopathies of human behavior. A lot of that is based in how well you're able to connect. And so if we stay in this place of disconnect by being in our own world, being in our own house, being in our own office, being in our own we won't be able to connect. And so it won't make us horrified when these injustices occur, whether they're in our backyard or overseas. It's just another story that's like, oh my goodness, where we can kind of cerebrally, you know, participate and analyze, as opposed to committing our hearts to this must end right now. 100%. You know, and you see that young girl, Greta, where she's like screaming about global. She has so much passion in her body. She's speaking from that true, gut-wrenching, heartfelt place of, everyone wake up. And the wake up isn't being awake. The wake up is your heart space has to really be reactivated with your commitment to saving and treasuring what we have now, and not just being like, oh, what are we going to do? Gaze, mm-hmm. gaze, you know, yeah. glazed over, you know, we're all glazed over. And, you know, I love Netflix like the next person, but if that's all you do is live in someone else's pretend imaginary place, mm-hmm. you allow the things around you to fall into disrepair. Yeah. And it's time for us to step into our heart space.
I love it.
As scary as it may be, yeah. it's liberating as well.
It is. It's that awareness that breaks down that line from the, what is the us space going to do about, for, because of the them.
That's right. That's right.
It's all hard.
That's right. That's right. And it takes more than sending billions of dollars overseas. It really takes the, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. And so, you know, being very much so a firm believer in the power of social justice movements, mm-hmm. you know, putting the daffodil in the barrel of the rifle mm-hmm. is really what it's about. Like, where do you stand in the place of love? And, you know, interestingly enough, when you use words like standing in the place of love and speaking from your heart, people are like, oh, that's so woo woo, you know, like kind of couch it in this.
Knocked over.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. You know, oh, that's flaky and flighty and oh, blah, blah. It's not based in anything. And actually it's based in the truest truth of all, which is that this is the crux of why we're here. The crux of why we're here is learning to integrate all parts of self and all parts of community together. If that isn't the truest definition of inclusion and belonging, I don't know what else is. And you know, we look to other species and how they've got it all figured out. We're the aberration on this planet, quite frankly.
It is. Yeah. Let's bring about that sixth extinction just on our own backs. But because there I go again. You know, talking about all this, this just always blows my mind because being in alternative healthcare, yeah. you know, we've gotten it all, you know, quackery, fake science, woo woo. I believe in it. I don't believe in it. And in this realm, there is so much research, so much science. That's fantastic. It all this woo-woo stuff really actually kind of works. Mm-hmm. Set that in a bin. Mm-hmm. Then there is all of this generations of historical application that shows that this works.
Hello.
There is a cultural tradition of music and rhythm bringing together a people in healing. Hello. So much so that that's the thing we try to stamp out when we go and colonize someplace. Like, get rid of the music.
It's the first thing to go. The first place that Putin bombed was the last place I performed, which was the Palace of Fine Arts. It's the first thing on the list.
The art and music is the first to go because
it's the soul. It's right.
Yeah. How else can we express this love? If that's in Nazi Germany, that's we go after the music, the books, the learning.
God.
Oh, like pick one, anyone. Yeah. But you know, it doesn't matter, and it's not very strong or powerful. Did you know that it's not powerful at all? But it should be
right, exactly. We're just targeting it by accident.
Yeah, on accident.
Let's see.
It's all woo. It's all.
It's all woo and random.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice try. We're not buying it. Yeah. Exactly. No. We're not buying it. No.
So you have traveled internationally. You have been to war torn countries, to these places, that quite frankly, the power and strength of your heart to stay embodied and stay present with all these people that you visit. You know, you bring music and the other piece that I told you I'd shoehorn this in here if I had to, but the other piece that you bring is this aspect of storytelling. And I think that this goes right along that idea of survive versus thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Survive says, I have a checklist of needs that need to be made and you're good.
Right.
But this thriving has its own beat, has its own rhythm. Maybe we are going to get some slam poetry going here, but it's storytelling. And you talk about all these cups of tea that you have.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, and thank you for shoehorning it in because it's the most delicious thing, I think, is when you really get to know someone else's world and life and connection to well-being and how they move physically, emotionally, spiritually by actually talking to them. What? Shock the body. And so, you know, doing a lot of work in the Middle East, one of the things that always was critical was the moment before you begin speaking, you share a cup of tea. And whether or not they were completely impoverished, I mean, there were so many stories of sending their children out to search the roads for coins, to go and buy one bag of tea for all of us, you know, nine of us to share, you know, so that we could have this moment of community and communal space. And I think about that so often, how there was always that moment of bringing the tea in. And there was this one story, I don't know if this is the story we talked about before, but we were in a teeny tiny space. We were all crammed in there. We were all sitting down. They were bringing out the tea. And the person bringing out the tea was this precious, seven-year-old girl, maybe eight at the most. And she had this giant tray of tea with all these glasses, and it was shaking. We were like, oh my gosh. But the thing that I took note of most of all, outside of her commitment and her desire to have us welcome in her home, was that she was wearing these shoes that were from her doll baby. She didn't have any shoes. So she put on these itty bitty, it was like her top three toes fit into the shoes, but she carefully, gingerly walked clip, clop, with these beautiful glasses, and she set the tray down, and I think one fell and broke, and she looked petrified, like she had done something wrong. And we were like, hooray! I mean, we were so excited, and we cheered, and then it just broke the ice. We started singing and dancing, and we weren't going to talk about the woes of the world right now. Right now, we were going to celebrate, and I shared with them. I was like, you know, in our traditions, you pour libations to your ancestors, and that's how when the tea or coffee is spilled on the ground, it means that everyone's here now. The ancestors are here, the family's here, everybody's here. That's how we feed the ground, because they're there with us underneath the soil. And so when they heard that, they were like, hooray! And we started dancing and singing songs to our ancestors and remembering them and telling stories, and it just broke this fear in this little girl. And she was so elated to know that she brought the ancestors to the space. She started dancing in a way that she had never danced before. She was spinning and twirling and singing. And I whipped out my drum and we just started, wah! I mean, it turned into a real party. And so it went from a droll meeting to a big giant celebration that we are all here. Mm-hmm. Ancestors, us, living, passed on, seen, unseen, we're all together. And what a reason to celebrate. And let's celebrate with song. Let's celebrate with dance. Let's celebrate with joy. Mm-hmm. Because it could be that we're not all together. Mm-hmm. It could be that we're separated by war. It could be that, you know, we're in so much pain, we're not able to dance. Or that we're so filled with anguish, we're not able to remember and sing. But we could. So we did. And it was fantastic.
Oh, I love it. Oh, you brought tears to my eyes. This little girl, and I got a little 5-year-old. And just the trying so hard.
Honesty. Like, she was so earnest. She was like, I'm going to come out there with any shoes that I can find. Mm-hmm. I'm going to borrow my baby doll's shoes, and I'm going to come out there and just, it was incredible. It was incredible.
And so I love, thank you for sharing the story. It wasn't the one I was thinking, but it holds the same spirit of another one that you shared when we talked so long ago. And it is this breaking down, this moment of change that was encapsulated in that moment of having something to share as a community changes this exchange from, you know, a business meeting.
Yes.
How are you today? Yes. Tell me the facts about you. Right. To this place where the facts about you matter much less than the presence about you and the presence about everybody there.
Absolutely.
And that is where, again, the real healing can be. It's the difference of that lip service. True. Of, you know, I'm Carly, I'm a chiropractor, I had this injury, I had that injury, versus this is how I can dance with my injury.
Hey, right.
Right. This is how the body that I survived in shows up today. That's right. So much more in those moments than how could I ever tell you? Let me show you.
That's right. And it also breaks, oh gosh, you know what? You are taking me to all the places. Not only that, in addition to that, the end of that is honoring all of our differently abled selves. We all, you know, this kind of like aspiration to perfection that's been dropped on us by, you know, dominant culture is something that we also have to remember is a farce, is an illusion, is somebody else's something that we don't have to take on. And mm-hmm. so, you know, she was, the little girl was thinking that it was proper for her to wear those shoes, even though we were like, take those things off, my friend, right? We get, it was like almost a circus act, like, ah, how is she getting on those little shoes? But in that moment of the release of it, she kicked them off. It was like she couldn't dance. She had to dance. The desire to dance mm-hmm. and share joy and joie de vivre and having life be bigger than mm-hmm. silly shoes because, you know, we're supposed to, right.
Yeah.
We're supposed to leaves the room when mm-hmm. true passion and true authentic joy and expression comes into the room. Mm. They don't coexist.
Yes. Well, I love that you bring that up. I mean, so I have a confession story that I want to share is that, you know, I shared with you, my listeners know that I had my first injury at 7 months old. I had my first mm-hmm. traumatic brain injury from bacterial meningitis. And so I had never lived any of my life as a, you know, so-called able-bodied individual. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize until this fall when I had healed myself to this point of like, I did it. I achieved able body. And like, that was the check mark I had to get. I mm-hmm. wanted to be where the people were. I was a Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be there. And I got another traumatic brain injury. And it knocked me on my tuchus. I was out. Mm. And then I realized all I wanted to be was with my family. Mm. And all I wanted to be was able to be present. And all I wanted to do was hear the baseline of the music mm. that I could hear for the first time that last year, because I was so hearing impaired. Mm. Able body didn't matter anymore. And it was this yes. glass shattering moment of, whoever said that was the only way to be, that I had to keep up myself with all of these expectations. Yes. How much did I not dance? Mm. That little girl in her shoes, how much was she not going to dance if she felt like she had to keep those shoes on the whole time?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Talk mm-hmm. about it. Absolutely. And, you know, I think about it too, from my experience with shifting my perception around what constitutes mm-hmm. my body, you know, like there was always this desire to look a certain way, be a certain way, to be able to do certain things, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, that was always the strive. But then when it all got taken away, all I wanted was to be able to get out of the bed, like, and not be in this completely frozen, like, I can't move from the hips down, mm-hmm. leg, and I can't move. I can't breathe at all without tubes, and I can't move anything but these two fingers to write on a little piece of paper. It was the only part of me that could move. It was another thing of realizing the power of gratitude, mm-hmm. the power of being able to go, oh, right, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And also realizing how our society does not make accommodations that are real. You know, you see things like, this is the bathroom that allows a wheelchair to fit. That does not fit a wheelchair. I've been in wheelchairs for years. It does not fit a wheelchair. You know, this sidewalk and this little ramp is for that thing is so crooked. You're driving down, you know, it's like,
thank goodness getting over the snow to get to that ramp.
Exactly. You know, and people are like, oh gosh, ADA, blah, blah, blah. You're like, no, actually, I need you to put that front and center. If mm-hmm. we're going to be here together, that's front and center. Mm-hmm. Now, there needs to be room for all of us to be here, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Yeah, that might change the expectation. This brings us back to the music, to the story of, it changes the expectation of what's important. If the important thing is that my body shows up and performs in a way to have survival needs met, that's then right. Yeah, with a traumatic brain injury, I'm going to fail that. And in a wheelchair, not being able to make it to the office building, you're going to fail that. We are going to fail you.
That's right. And you know what? You failed us, because quite honestly, for you to expect me to come there by any means necessary without the accommodations, I'm sorry. I don't think that that's, you're not, you don't care enough to try hard enough.
And it changes the conversation of, and this has taken a long time and a lot of conversations about, you know, so what is the worth of a human if it is not to show up and perform in an able-bodied, preferably packaged in a way that is pleasing to the surrounding culture as well. What is the worth of a human if it is not about that kind of performance
and packageability, like you said, and consume, people want to consume perfection, right? And so if it's not perfect, then you're the ugly fruit. You are not consumable. You are not nutrient rich. You have no purpose and you need to be disposed of. And that.
We throw away ugly fruit too.
All the time. What's the point? Right.
And it brings us to this whole conversation that we've been having around to be human, to be present, to be resonant, to have a reason to come back to this earth and embody again is not just those survival things of let me tick these boxes of performance or the boxes of having performed for me and met my survival needs. It is seeing that whole person and how they can arrive as they are with what they have.
And what a blessing that they're here at all. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. However, wherever, this is the beauty of your presence.
And that, I think, brings us around to these ideas of peace and forgiveness.
Yes.
Of having, you know, how many times have you heard? I don't know how many times I've heard. Having been what you've been through. How are you so happy? How do you feel in your heart? How have you arrived at this place of sharing so much love? How did you do it?
What? Give us some tips. Yes. Oh my gosh. You have never spoken true words. You know, I think it's something that's really, wow. Yeah. The bigness of that comment is, in a nutshell, you find the passion and power to be the fiercest being that you are because you have healed on an evolved level. Like it's the bigness of it, right? It's more than just physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. It's the bigness of evolution, right? Check. And if we didn't have that kind of evolutionary healing on this grander scale, we would stay stuck and even regress. And, you know, if we hadn't healed ourselves on this next level, you wouldn't be able to do the healing work that you're doing for others and likewise. And so, you know, people ask us that question because they want to get through their own place of struggling and their own place of blockage. And the only thing to help with that is to stand in your own truth and to be in a place of knowing that if you stay stuck, hatred and creative solutions are in two parts of the brain, right? When you're stuck in hate and anguish and anger, you can't get to the part of the brain that offers creative solutions. You have to move to a place of openness to allow for thought patterns to create new pathways to allow for you to get to a place of resolution. And, you know, we are so challenged to leave our comfort zone. And so if our comfort zone becomes a place of anger and anguish and rah, the world is terrible. And that's the place that we get stuck and stay because it becomes comfortable. It's hard to leave that place. We experience dissonance, but our comfort zone, if our comfort zone becomes gratitude, love, openness, desire to connect, desire to be one in community, desire to share love and gifts, that becomes our place of comfort. And so it really is a personal journey of where you want to, what lens you want to view life through. It's quite easy to be like, dur, dur, dur. The news gives us 24 hours of rah, rah, rah. It takes work to step into the joy of the deliciousness, fantasticness of life. And if you step into that lens, you're like, I'm never going back to another lesbian.
My mom always says you can't unring that bell.
You can't unring that bell.
Yeah, you're there.
That's right. You hear it, you feel it, and it's so much more relaxing and peaceful. And it takes a minute, and it takes a continual practice of it. It doesn't just magically happen. I don't wake up every day and I'm like, woo, woo, today's the day for another day of blah, blah. You know, I got to go through the aches and pains of my legs being like, oh, it's going to rain today, you know, because of all the breaks and the, you know, like there's things, especially, you know, for us differently able, amazing humans, we feel the earth shift in a way that maybe other people don't. And so being able to get to that next realm of, okay, even with these things happening, there's so many beautiful things also happening. And it's a real continual commitment.
And I like it. It just reminds me of talking about the music and the resonance in the beginning and just getting lost in it. Right. You know, when you stay stuck in that hate and that anger, you know exactly where you are. I am here. I got the news in front of me. I don't care. Pick a channel. I got the news in front of me. I know where I am. It is uncomfortable, but I got it.
That's right. Exactly. And there are a lot of people in here with me that are also uncomfortable. We can find each other and rah, rah, rah all day. That's right.
This is our box.
That's right.
But everything that you described after that, out of that, is getting lost. Yes. Because you don't know where you're going to arrive. You are, in a sense, out of control. Exactly. Amidst this rhythm that ties us all together.
That's right. And, you know, honestly, that's a lot of why in my talks, I weave in the concept of being beyond. You know, when you're in a state of being beyond, you lose the trappings of the ists and isms of our body wrappers. And you step into this kind of communal place of, you know, molecular connections where we can choose to believe that the impossible is possible. We can choose to continue to love and have hope and be fearless and brave and courageous and bold. And, you know, even when we're tired and weary and feeling lost and alone, we choose to because we must. And just a side note, I love etymology. And so I looked up the origin of the word must. It's from Persia. It's Urdu, and it means to be compelled as if by intoxication. And it actually describes the state that elephants are in when they're in heat. They are in must. And so we're talking about like defying logic. We're in must. We must rise above the things that trap us in a place, even if it defies logic, we have to call it to us to be beyond. And so we have to muster all of our strength and corral all of our community and call on our deepest superpowers to allow us to channel the fact that in this time of transformational healing, we all have to come forth and stand in witness and in action of our desire and commitment to inclusion and belonging and forgiveness and compassion and togetherness and grow and reshape our powerful present. Because we are truly in a time, like you and I said earlier today, where we can not only make a difference, we must make a difference. Mm-hmm. We must. Oh,
and I'm an etymology person too. And it makes me want to now go. And I like, why have I never? You've talked about should on the podcast a lot. And doesn't must feel so much better?
Much more liberating, right?
Yes. Wait. Oh, that drive. So yes. You know, we arrive because we must, and we must because we gave up our shoulds.
Yes.
And
our must speaks to our commitment, our choice. Mm-hmm. We chose to, therefore we must. Yes.
On that beautiful note, Amikayla, thank you so much for joining us today. Mm-hmm. I love talking with you. I love spinning these ideas that just feels like, I know there's a name for it, that toy that goes big and then small and divides into itself. Spinning these ideas of the self out into the collective and the collective back into self, because once we start to really dive into that heart space, it is this constant kaleidoscope of change from small to large. And you bring that color, that brightness, and that work, that standing in that heart space with your activism, and the work you do globally. Thank you so much. If any of our listeners want to learn more, find more, see more about you, where do they go?
Go to my Facebook page. And it's just Amikayla, Amikayla. My last name is Gaston, Gaston. And just come and let's be friends.
I love it. And to all of everyone listening today, you know, I always hope that there is a nugget, a piece that you take away from these conversations, something that you can apply into your week as we spin around a little bit until we meet again on Mondays. Mm-hmm. Let us know if this has driven a beat in you or changed a should to a must. We'd love to hear about it. Find us on Facebook too. In the meantime, have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Monday. Be well.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard and got a little something out of it to help you on your journey to health. Please, if you're inclined, share this podcast with a friend so we can help more people lead healthier lives. Now, remember, the information expressed in these interviews is for informational and not diagnostic or treatment purposes. However, I hope you find that having the right information and resources can go a long way to helping you on your healthcare journey. Ask the right questions and seek out professional help. And we'll see you next week for another episode of the Healing Ground Movement podcast. Be well.